Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's your host, Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. I am here with you today with a lot of great information to share, and a good bit of it has to do with a healthy diet. I was just thinking, here we are in election season and looking at the two choices. I know there are more people running than just the top tier, but the reality of the independent bids is pretty small. It kind of looks to me like either way that this thing goes, the attention to healthy food, healthy school children, healthy diet that has been the case in this administration with Michelle Obama, the White House garden, and all of the effort to make exercise and healthy diet real for so many of America's children. I don't see either side having any kind of interest in that whatsoever. So I kind of think that we're not going to see any big national attempts to improve the diet in the next administration, however the election turns out. So that being the case, we have to do it for ourselves, don't we? Which is always the case. It's always the reality is that we are personally responsible for making the choices that are going to keep us healthy or not keep us healthy. So one of the things that really concerns a lot of people as they start to get older is how to hang on to the brain, how to hang on to cognitive function. And it's no secret that a healthy diet and regular exercise are beneficial to our health, that they reduce the risk of obesity, they reduce the associated diseases of obesity. But this week, a new study suggests that these lifestyle factors, healthy diet, regular exercise, have the potential to reduce progression to Alzheimer's disease. And what the research says is that a healthy lifestyle could lower levels of plaques and tangles that are a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. This was published in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. It found that people with mild memory problems who followed a Mediterranean diet, engaged in regular physical activity, and had a normal body mass index, so they were at normal weight, were less likely to experience a buildup of something called beta amyloid and something else called tau. These are proteins in the brain. An accumulation of those proteins, beta amyloid and tau, are hallmarks of Alzheimer's. Beta amyloid clumps together, forming plaques between nerve cells that impair signaling. Tau forms tangles that can damage nerve cells. This was coming to us, the research came to us from UCLA, and it comes on the heels of another study that hailed the benefits of the Mediterranean diet against Alzheimer's, providing further evidence that lifestyle factors play an important role in the disease. So this study, though, shows that such factors like exercise and healthy diet, and when they define healthy diet, they're talking about Mediterranean diet, it affects the buildup of Alzheimer's-related proteins in the brains of adults that have mild memory complaints. And the fact that we can detect this influence of lifestyle at a molecular level before the beginning of serious memory problems came as a big surprise to the people at UCLA. Lower levels of plaques and tangles with a healthy lifestyle in people that are between the ages of 40 and 85, this is a great finding. Now, it should be said that among these adults that were enrolled to participate in this study, about half of them had subjective memory impairment, mild cognitive impairment, but none of them had been diagnosed with dementia. Subjective memory impairment is where a person believes they're having problems with memory. Mild cognitive impairment is where the memory problems are observed by the person who experiences them, but also by friends and relatives, other people can observe the problem. So think about the Mediterranean diet. We consider it a heart-healthy diet, and that's really kind of a beginning heads up that the things that we do that keep our heart healthy when we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s will keep our brain healthy when we get beyond 40s and 50s. So plant-based foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low in red meat, switching butter out for olive oil, fish and poultry at least twice a week, fish at least twice a week, poultry on other days, red wine in moderation. These are things that are not that hard to do. I found myself walking around in Newark International because I had an event earlier this week where I went in front of a group of people and did some presentations. So flying home at the end of the day, I was at Newark, and there's a lot of food in that airport. And so I was walking around. I was hungry. It was dinner time. It was my flight was leaving at 7 p.m. headed back to Florida. So I wanted to eat something before I got on the plane. And I walked around, and I was able to put together a really interesting combination of things at one of the little airport restaurants. I ended up with some fresh sautéed broccoli rabe, and I had a caprese salad, and it was very Mediterranean and very healthy. And there I was sitting in an airport. Now, there were all the other typical kinds of, you know, barbecue sliders and all kinds of other restaurants from which to choose, but I was able to eat Mediterranean at an airport just by ordering. I walked around and looked at a bunch of menus. It took me about 20, 30 minutes to make a choice about where was I going to be, but I finally found a place where the food was very healthy. The choice was very healthy. So these things are not impossible to do. It's just a matter of putting a little bit of attention on it. So they did PET scans on these participants, and the PET scans actually look at levels of beta amyloid plaques and tau tangles. The PET is called FDDNP-PET. And so they were actually able to look at the brains of these people. This is non-invasive, and it's a great way to find out where you are. Subjects had a healthy BMI, so healthy body weight. They followed the Mediterranean diet, and they were active. They had lower levels of plaques and tangles compared to the people that didn't adhere to such lifestyle factors. So this is just great news about the importance of healthy lifestyle for preserving the health of our minds as we go on into later years. And red wine, green tea, and dark chocolate, that's the name of my blog. You can find it at joelieblogs.com, joelieblogs.com. And I have a lot of space on that blog dedicated to helping people sort out following a Mediterranean diet. We can all do it. There's nothing hard about it. And the foods are delicious. So think the south of France, think Greece, think Italy, and think about the good things that come from that region of the world and plan your meals accordingly. Now, here was a question and answer that went between an ophthalmologist and a patient, and the patient wanted to know what vitamins and nutrients will prevent my glaucoma from worsening. And the ophthalmologist referred to a recent study that suggested a diet that includes plenty of green leafy vegetables may lower the risk of glaucoma. The ophthalmologist recommends including nutrient-rich foods such as fruits and vegetables, moderate exercise, so a healthy lifestyle, balanced nutrition, moderate exercise, and appropriate rest. So a balanced diet that includes fruits and vegetables, because those foods are the primary source of carotenoids. Those have overall benefits for vision health. Certain fruits and vegetables have higher vitamin A and C content, and that reduces glaucoma risk. Some of the most helpful fruits and vegetables for healthy vision are some of my favorites. Collard greens, cabbage, kale, spinach, Brussels sprouts, celery, carrots, peaches, radishes, green beans, and beets. All of these things are in the markets these days. I made a salad this week. I kind of recreated a salad that I have when I visit my daughter in Durango, Colorado, and there's a restaurant there, Steamworks. It's actually a microbrewery, but they serve some pretty awesome food, and one of the things that they serve is called a Caesar salad redux, and it's made with very finely chopped kale and very thinly sliced raw Brussels sprouts. So I was at the market the day after I got back from Newark, and I just needed some fresh food in the house. I picked up some Brussels sprouts and some kale, and I recreated this salad, just slicing those Brussels sprouts very, very finely and slicing about four big leaves of kale in a very fine chop and dressed it with a Caesar dressing. It was delicious and full of vitamin A and vitamin C. So, again, healthy vision, collard greens, cabbage, kale, spinach, Brussels sprouts, celery, carrots, peaches, radishes, green beans, beets. Now, oxidative stress is also associated with damage to the optic nerve in glaucoma, so antioxidants may help to prevent further injury. And dietary sources of antioxidants include pomegranate, acai berries, cranberries, dark chocolate, black and green tea, bilberry, blueberries, lycopene, and dark leafy green vegetables like kale and spinach. Any specific nutritional deficiencies in the diet can be addressed with supplements that include vitamins A, the B complex, vitamin C and E, the minerals magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Although there haven't really been any vitamin studies for glaucoma, there have been for cataracts. So, and cataracts affect even more people than glaucoma does. DHA, omega-3, is also critically important for the health of the eye. And you can get a multivitamin that has DHA. Women's Omega Multi is a great one for women. Men's Omega Multi is a great one for men. So the diet and some very judiciously chosen supplements really help you as you start to get older. This is Food for Thought. I'll be right back after a couple of messages from my sponsor, Carlson Laboratories. Please stay with me.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
We all know that we need energy to live.
Energy.
Did you know that coenzyme Q10 is essential to produce energy? Coenzyme Q10 is one of the vital keys to how your body produces energy. Coenzyme Q10 is exciting for another reason. It's a good antioxidant. That means it's able to fight harmful chemicals called free radicals and protect your body cells. CoQ10 is normally in the diet, and sometimes taking CoQ10 supplements may make sense. Carlson CoQ10 is provided in soft, gelatin capsules, which are easy to swallow. The soft gels help keep CoQ10 fresh by protecting it from heat, light, and air. Plus, natural vitamin E is added, to protect freshness and potency. Ask for Carlson CoQ10 at finer health stores.
Energy.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Rood. I'm a nutritionist and a nurse, and I do nutrition education all over the place. All over North America, you might find me. You never know where our paths may cross. Between radio programs, though, you can follow me on Twitter, Jolie Rood on Twitter, J-O-L-I-E-R-O-O-T. And I mentioned the blog, Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate. I also keep a Facebook page for the radio show, so it's Food for Thought Radio. And I want to kind of change gears. We were talking about older people in the first segment. I want to talk about kids in this segment because there was a really interesting study looking at sugar and children and looking at cardiovascular disease in children, relating it to added sugars. So too much sugar, just like too much sodium, appears to increase the risk of serious health problems. There was a fantastic article in the New York Times about how the sugar industry was able to manipulate science, just the dirtiest of deeds as far as influencing the publication of science with money, so that the truth did not come out that sugar was so unhealthy, and they were able to in a very crafty way, in a very political and dark way, switch the blame for chronic health problems over to fat. It's a great article. Check it out if you can. It's really worth reading. But children whose diets are high in added sugar but low in nutrients are at greater risk of being obese and all of the related problems to that. And all of that can contribute to cardiovascular disease. And you can see diseased and damaged blood vessels in young people age 8, 9, 10, 11. Never used to be the case when we just ate real food and didn't eat all of the garbage that gets shoved in front of our kids on television and vending machines and everywhere to tempt them. According to the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which is a dietary survey, nearly 16% of the calories in American kids' diets are from added sugar. And that may be lower than actual intake because that survey is self-reported, so they're not actually following people and looking at everything that they're eating. Most self-reported diet information is underestimated. The amount of dietary sugar increases with age, and preteens and teens consume the most added sugar daily. And the thing is, added sugars contribute to a diet, making it high in calories but low in nutrients. Sugars actually work on a negative fashion as far as nutrients are concerned, because the work that the body has to do to deal with a high sugar intake burns up B vitamins, magnesium, and a lot of other nutrients that ought to be going to strong bones and healthy brains and all of the production of energy in the body. So sugar costs us, nutritionally speaking. Never mind that it doesn't provide any nutrients, it robs nutrients. And this added sugar diet, this kind of high-calorie, low-nutrient diet, increases the risk of obesity, hypertension, heart disease, and even some cancers. So the American Heart Association has been really out in the forefront of making measured recommendations about sugar intake. They recommend that children's diets contain no more than about 6 teaspoons of added sugar daily. So that's not even, let's say the kid gets a can of soda, a sugar-sweetened beverage, a big glass of juice or something like that. That's not even a full can. A 12-ounce can, soft drink, has 10 teaspoons of sugar. So we're talking about 6 teaspoons of sugar in the course of a day. It's 25 grams of sugar. conservative estimates put kids at an average of 80 grams a day. So where is all of that coming from? Well, sodas, sports drinks, sugar-sweetened beverages, sweet tea, coffee drinks, cookies, cake, dessert-type foods, sweetened cereals, that's a big one, syrups and breakfast breads and muffins, so Pop-Tarts, I'm talking about you. We have to work. We have a lot of work to do to decrease sugar intake in ourselves and in the children that we are modeling behavior in front of. And the recommendations are a very strict target given the sort of floodgate access that we have to sweetened and processed foods. It doesn't need to be all or nothing, but there certainly are benefits to be made in just making some simple changes to your drinking and food choices. So water instead of other sweet beverages and sports drinks. Unflavored milk for kids. So not with the chocolate syrup, not the different flavored milks that's all got a lot of sugar in it. Eating fruit or eating fruit-based desserts and snacks, including if you're doing pancakes, sliced fruit on top. Toast with fruit-only preserves instead of the ones with added sugar. And preparing baked goods with less sugar, you can manipulate recipes and make that pie or make that cake with less sugar. Unsweetened cereals, granola, breakfast bars, and snacks. Choose lower sugar products when you're looking at those things. 25 grams is for the whole day. That's what the Heart Association says would be healthy. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a bland diet. There's much to be enjoyed in the natural sweetness of whole, unprocessed foods. Give it a try. One of the benefits of a healthier diet is better reading skills in the first 3 years of school. This came from Finland. It was published in the European Journal of Nutrition. The study constitutes part of the Physical Activity and Nutrition in Children study being conducted at the University of Eastern Finland, and the First Steps study also in Finland. The kids, 161 kids between the ages of 6 and 8, they followed them from first grade to third grade, analyzed their diet and their academic skills with the help of standardized tests, and the following nutrition recommendations, so guidelines that stated that the diet should be high in vegetables, fruits and berries, fish, and whole grain, unsaturated fats like olive oil, low in red meat, sugary products, and saturated fat. That was the healthy diet. So children whose diet was rich in vegetables, fruit, berries, whole grain, fish, and unsaturated fats and low in sugary products did better in tests that measured reading skills than their peers who had a poorer quality diet. So a little more reason to get the kids also on something healthier as far as the diet quality is concerned. Another significant observation was the link of diet quality with reading skills was independent of confounding factors like their socioeconomic status. So the poorer children in the study, if they were on a cleaner diet, did just as well as the more wealthy kids in the study. It was also independent of physical activity and whether or not the kids were overweight and their level of fitness. What this tells us is that parents, grandparents, schools, governments, and food companies could be improving the availability of healthy foods, and a healthy diet is an important factor in supporting learning and academic performance in children. By making healthy choices every meal, it is possible to promote a healthy diet and enhance diet quality. And parents and schools have an important role in making healthy foods available to children. And governments and companies play a key role in promoting the availability and production of healthy foods. So a healthy diet connected with better reading scores. Now, that's not all. There was another study from Western Sweden in third graders. They took a computer-based test, these kids, 154 of them. It's called the LOGOS test. It measures reading skills in a variety of ways, including reading speed and ability to read nonsense words and vocabulary. You know, like reading the paper. The children were randomly assigned to receive either capsules with omega-3 and omega-6 or placebo, which was a palm oil capsule, for 3 months. And the children, the parents, and the researchers, it was a blinded study. They didn't learn until the study was completed which children had gotten the healthy fats, the omega-3-6 capsules, and which had received the placebo. So after 3 months, all children received the real omega-3 and 6 capsules for the final 3 months of the study. Even after 3 months, they could see that the children's reading skills improved with the addition of the healthy fatty acids compared to those who received the placebo. This was particularly evident in the ability to read a nonsense word aloud and pronounce it correctly, which is phonics, phonologic decoding, and the ability to read a series of letters quickly, visual analysis time. No children that had ADHD were included in the study, but with the help of the parents, the researchers could identify children who had milder attention problems, and those kids attained even greater improvements in several tests, including faster reading already after 3 months of receiving fatty acid supplements. This is because the omega-3s are important for the brain, and the brain needs a little bit of omega-6 also. Now, our kids mostly get plenty of omega-6 in the diet, the American diet with all the vegetable oils that are very, very high in omega-6. Most of the time here in America, the problem is not that we need more omega-6, it's that we need more omega-3. And for kids, a liquid omega-3 like the Carlson cod liver oil, it is taste award winning, it is not fishy, it is not your grandmother's cod liver oil. A little half teaspoonful of that would mimic the level of omega-3 and 6 intake that was used in this study in Sweden. Other studies have been done. Oxford University, Alexandra Richardson, has done great work with giving kids healthy fat supplements and looking at reading and language and behavior. Children need these fats in their diet, and parents can just sprinkle a little bit, that little half teaspoon, on a slice of pizza, if you will, on popcorn. There's so many ways to do it. We'll be back after these messages. This is Food for Thought.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. Or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today. It's hard to assure your kids are getting enough nutrients, especially those tricky omega-3s. Kids, in particular, need omega-3 oils in Carlson for Kids cod liver oil because they're crucial for brain and vision development, as well as cardiovascular health. Higher levels of omega-3 fats from fish support better learning. Carlson for Kids cod liver oil supplies 590 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids in each serving. It has a delicious lemon flavor that kids love. It tastes great on its own or mixed in your child's favorite food or beverage. You can give your children Carlson for Kids cod liver oil with confidence because all Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory.
Look for the purity guarantee right on the label. Be sure your children are getting the omega-3s they need with Carlson for Kids Cod Liver Oil. Look for it at your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root, and I want to talk for just a moment about vitamin D because Science Daily brought a great story to our attention regarding the relationship between vitamin D and asthma. And what it found was that vitamin D can reduce asthma attacks. Asthma is a common chronic disease. It affects about 300 million people worldwide, and the symptoms include wheezing, coughing, chest tightness, and shortness of breath. And low blood levels of vitamin D have been linked to increased risk of asthma attacks in children and adults with asthma. There's been a growing interest in the potential role of vitamin D in asthma management because it may help to reduce upper respiratory infections like the common cold that can lead to exacerbations of asthma. Several clinical trials have tested whether taking vitamin D as a supplement has an effect on asthma attacks, symptoms, and lung function in children and adults with asthma. And they found 7 trials involving children and adults. Two studies, there were 435 children followed and 658 adults followed. The participants were ethnically diverse, involving a very broad range of global geographic settings: Canada, India, Japan, Poland, the UK, and the US. The majority of people recruited to the studies had mild to moderate asthma, and a minority of them had severe asthma, and most of the people continued to take their usual asthma medication while participating in the studies, which lasted between 6 and 12 months. And the researchers found that giving an oral vitamin D supplement reduced the risk of severe asthma attacks requiring hospital admission or even emergency department attendance by half. So among this group of people, now that sounds enormous, but the absolute risk of having to be admitted to a hospital or seeing an emergency department among asthma patients generally is about 6%. So 6% of people with asthma don't manage their asthma sufficiently with their medication and end up having to go to the ER or being admitted to a hospital. So the vitamin D supplement cut that in half. So instead of 6% of people, it was 3% of people. And they found that the vitamin D supplement reduced the rate of asthma attacks that need treatment with steroid tablets. That was mainly in adults. But they also found that vitamin D did not improve lung function or day-to-day asthma symptoms. So what that means is that if you have asthma, you want to get your vitamin D levels up into a mid-range of normal for vitamin D. This is just reason number, I don't know what, 1 million. How many times have I talked about the importance of getting vitamin D up into the mid-range, which means 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter, which means for most adults, 4,000 or 5,000 units a day. I push mine a little higher than that. I go for 70. I want 70 nanograms per milliliter, and the reason for that is because Garland and Garland, one is no longer with us, but Cedric Garland, in a presentation that I saw in Toronto several years ago, where he made the comment that at 48 nanograms per milliliter, a woman's, the incidence rate of breast cancer is about half of what it is compared to people who are inadequate vitamin D or lower vitamin D levels, but that in nearly 30 years of research, they really hadn't seen breast cancer in anyone whose level was 70. So I thought, well, there's my number. And it's not that hard for me, but I don't get there at 4,000 units. I actually take about 8,000 units a day of vitamin D. and I have it measured once a year when I go in and get my annual checkup. What they're saying here is that a vitamin D supplement just reduces the necessity of visiting the hospital in people that have either moderate or severe or even mild asthma. What they need to do is they need to run vitamin D levels on all of these people and see, you know, what was the level that was accomplished with the supplement and what would be a reasonable recommendation. But I can tell you that having inadequate vitamin D levels is not reasonable. There's just no reason to risk that, because low vitamin D levels are associated with higher rates of infections, and we're coming into the season of the year where we're more likely to be exposed to people that have influenza, that have colds, and we and our children and grandchildren are out there in the world around coughing and sneezing and all kinds of germy scenarios, and having adequate vitamin D is associated with a more robust immune function and a resistance to respiratory infections. So if you're not yet aware of what your vitamin D level is, make a note to yourself that you want to ask for that the next time you visit your doctor. It's just a little blood test, and it's really worth knowing. And if you're not taking a vitamin D supplement, what are you waiting for? There's no reason to wait. Now, I saw an interesting piece about feeding the brain. This is food for thought, so of course this is an interesting topic to me. We all want to be the best that we can be, so there were some very interesting ideas of improving our chances of maintaining a healthy brain by adding smart foods and smart drinks to our diet. Might as well be thinking about our brains as well as our hearts, as well as, well, I'm hungry, I want to eat something, making a good choice. So caffeine is a place to start. It can make you more alert. There's not really a magic bullet to boost your IQ or make you smarter, although if your mom ate fish during pregnancy or took a prenatal with DHA or a women's omega multi and additional DHA, you've got a higher IQ than somebody whose mom didn't do that. That has been shown. But certain substances like caffeine can energize you and help you concentrate. So caffeine, where is it? It's in coffee, it's in tea, it's in chocolate, it's in some medications. People that have migraines sometimes take headache medications that have a little bit of caffeine. Now, the wake-up that you get is short-term, and more is not better. Overdoing it on caffeine can make you jittery and uncomfortable, but a little bit of caffeine can make you more alert. So can a small amount of sugar. I'm not talking about table sugar here, but I'm talking about glucose, which comes from processing the carbs and foods that you eat. And remember, broccoli is a carb. We have a tendency to really wail on carbs these days because we have now found that the low-carb diet is the better diet for losing weight. And so now, you know, carbs are the bad guys, but they're not all bad. And there are complex carbs, beans and grains and veggies, like I mentioned broccoli, but all kinds of veggies offer carbs, complex carbs. Glucose is your brain's preferred fuel source. Now, too much added sugar and memory can be impaired, so going easy on the added sugar. It enhances your memory to get your glucose from whole foods without packing on the pounds that come along with added sugar. Eating breakfast improves short-term memory and attention. Students who eat it perform better than the ones that don't. High-fiber whole grains, dairy, and fruits. Now, high-calorie breakfasts, so, you know, the great big stack of pancakes and three scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage, that kind of breakfast, that actually hinders concentration. That's not a good idea. Fish is brain food. A protein source linked to great brain health is fish. It's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. They're key for brain health. Healthy fats have amazing brain power. A diet with higher levels of omega-3 has been linked to lower dementia and lower stroke risks and slower mental decline. That omega-3 DHA, I talked about the amyloid protein earlier, that the amyloid and the tau proteins that are part of Alzheimer's observation, DHA lowers the burden of amyloid in the body. So if you take a good high DHA omega-3 supplement on a daily basis, and Carlson has at least 7 or 8 of their fish oil products that have at least 500 milligrams of DHA in a serving, and if you do that, it lowers the burden of amyloid protein. High DHA equals low amyloid, something to think about. But the omega-3s play a vital role in enhancing memory, especially as we get older. So for brain health and heart health, 2 servings of fish on a weekly basis is a recommendation. And I recommend that we boost our omega-3 index score, that's a blood level, to 8%. And what that means is around 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams combined EPA and especially DHA daily. Easy to do with a supplement. The very finest fish oil from Carlson gives you 1,300 combined EPA DHA in 1 teaspoon. Again, you can put it on your salad. That's often something that I do, is just put that teaspoonful on that nice, that Caesar salad redux that I made earlier this week, had my daily fish oil right in there. It tastes like lemon. It isn't fishy. Daily dose of nuts, small amount of chocolate. These are 2 things. They're great sources. Nuts and seeds are good sources of vitamin E, which has been linked in some studies to less cognitive decline as you age. Dark chocolate has powerful antioxidants. It has natural caffeine. An ounce a day of dark chocolate, 1 ounce a day of nuts. You can do that, and you're not going to end up with excess calories or fat or sugar. Those are healthy things for the brain. Avocados and whole grains. Every organ in the body depends on blood flow, especially the heart and the brain. A diet high in whole grains and fruits like avocado cut the risk of heart disease, lower bad cholesterol, reduce the plaque buildup, and enhance blood flow. Feed your brain. This is Food for Thought, and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with me.
No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson's Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson's Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish, and most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart.
Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I am your host, Jolie Root, and I want to complete my thoughts about feeding the brain. I mentioned whole grains, whole wheat. They contribute to dietary fiber, but they also contribute vitamin E, which is another thing that reduces the likelihood of plaque buildup in the blood vessels. Vitamin E protects against oxidized cholesterol, oxidized LDL. Vitamin E protects from that. Coenzyme Q10 protects you from having oxidized LDL, and that's part of the process of plaque buildup. And avocados, I mentioned avocados. People say, well, isn't that a high-fat fruit? Yes, and that's the point. They are high in fat, but it's the good monounsaturated fat that is a hallmark of the Mediterranean diet. It helps with healthy blood flow, and that monounsaturated fat is very, very healthy. So don't be afraid of avocados. And the last food that I want to mention on the brain fitness food list is blueberries. Blueberries are super nutritious. They protect the brain from damage caused by free radicals. They reduce the effects of things like dementia and memory impairment. They help you hold on to brain mass. This was such an interesting study. I've been talking about it for years and years. Tufts University did an analysis of different foods and looked at whether or not they helped with this issue of the shrinking brain. Our brains shrink as we get older. And blueberries, on the list of things that help to preserve brain mass, and the omega-3s are definitely there, so that two fish meals a week, that omega-3 supplement that I hope you're taking by now, help you hold on to brain mass, but so do blueberries, and it's a cup a day. That's what they recommend. And the frozen ones work just as well as the fresh ones, so in the middle of winter, when there certainly are not going to be any fresh blueberries around, you can get the frozen ones. They can go in a smoothie. They can go into a fruit salad, or if you just love blueberries like I do, just have a little cup of blueberries as a snack. Sweet treat that for no reason do you have to feel guilty about. Is there any activity that can help your brain? Yes. Powering up your ability to concentrate. A whole grain bagel with salmon, a cup of coffee or tea in the morning. Get a good night's sleep. Stay hydrated, Hillary. Exercise to help sharpen thinking, and meditate to clear thinking and relax. Staying hydrated is so important. We saw how it could impact a presidential election this week, didn't we? Somebody got dehydrated and almost passed out in conditions that were not particularly hot, but turns out she had pneumonia. One must stay hydrated in the course of a day. Make it easy for yourself to get plenty of water. Have it around. Take it in the car with you if you have to hop in the car and run errands. Make sure you've got water with you. Keep a glass of it handy. If you drink water, sometimes when you think you're hungry and you just have a glass of water, you find out you were really thirsty. Now, if you want to make the most of it, you can keep a little jar of the non-GMO vitamin C powder from Carlson around and put a little quarter teaspoon in there and get vitamin C a couple times a day. And, you know, maybe you won't end up with pneumonia if you've got good vitamin D levels and you're doing some daily vitamin C and you're getting some vitamin A from your cod liver oil or from your multivitamin, then you've got anti-infectives on board and you're better able to deal with the stresses of being exposed to germs, bacteria, or viruses that cause things like pneumonia. Now, there are some ways to gain weight fast, healthy ways, healthy foods that help you gain weight. Believe it or not, there are some people who need to gain rather than lose weight. But this segment can serve two purposes. I'm going to go through some ways to help people gain weight and add muscle. And for some people, gaining weight is just as difficult as for other people losing weight is. But you can take this segment one way or the other. If you need to lose weight, these are things you might want to avoid having on a multiple times a day basis. If you need to gain weight, these are things that you can do to do so. Homemade protein smoothies, it's a great way to gain some weight. Make them yourself, because the commercial smoothies are full of sugar and lack nutrients. Making your own helps you to vary the flavor and the nutrient content. You can use almond milk, or you can use regular milk. Chocolate banana nut shake, doesn't that sound good? You get whey protein in chocolate flavor. I recommend having a chocolate whey protein and a vanilla whey protein in the house, a little tub of those. You get them at a natural food store, Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, any of the good local natural food stores that might be near you will have whey protein. And if you get a chocolate and a vanilla, you can go in either direction. And so some of the things you can throw in there, a banana, a scoop of that whey protein, and a tablespoon of peanut butter or other nut butter. You could do a vanilla berry shake, so a cup of those frozen mixed berries or blueberries or strawberries or fresh berries, high-protein natural yogurt, a scoop of vanilla protein. You get the idea. So you can do these protein shakes. You could do a green shake, spinach, avocado, banana, pineapple, and a vanilla whey protein. Be delicious. It would be delicious. And those smoothies, those run between 400 and 600 calories with a high amount of protein. There are many ways to make delicious smoothies. And again, I recommend avoiding the commercial ones. Make it yourself. Get out your food processor or your blender. Have the fresh ingredients. Now, this is if you need to gain weight. So those combinations, those things that I mentioned, adding the nut butter, these are high calorie, these, you know, 400 to 600 calories in a drink. That's not something to do if you're in a weight loss mode. Milk is used for weight gain and for building muscle. It's a decent protein, carb, fat balance. It's a good source of calcium with other vitamins and minerals. So having milk with a meal or one or two glasses of milk as a snack is a great way to gain weight. Rice is helpful for gaining weight. A cup of cooked rice is 200 calories, 43 grams of carbs. It's a low-cost carb source to help you gain weight. It's calorie-dense. So the one thing that I want to mention then is if you're ordering something like some kind of curry at a Thai restaurant or something and it comes on a big bed of rice, realize that a couple of cups of rice is going to be 400 calories. If you need to gain weight, great. If you need to lose weight, don't have the rice. Nuts and nut butters are great if you're looking to gain weight. They're very calorie dense. A couple handfuls of nuts a day as a snack can quickly add hundreds of calories. Now, on the other hand, if we're talking about walnuts or we're talking about weight loss, an ounce, which is a little less than a handful of walnuts, before a meal, yes, it will add calories, but it will help you feel more satisfied and you won't eat as much during the meal. So an ounce of walnuts before a meal can be used as weight loss. But handfuls of nuts between meals are going to make you gain weight, so something to know. Red meats are a good muscle-building food. They're full of leucine, creatine. These are amino acids that the body needs to stimulate muscle protein synthesis and add new muscle tissue. In one study, elderly women who needed to gain weight added 6 ounces of red meat to their diets and performed resistance training sessions 6 days a week, and they gained muscle mass, and they had an 18% increase in strength. And an increase in the important muscle-building hormone, IGF-1. Other foods that make you gain weight, pay attention to this, potatoes and starches. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, winter root vegetables, quinoa, oats, corn. These are starchy carbs. This is good. They're complex carbs. But if you eat a lot of those, you should know that you will gain weight. You will gain weight. So, again, you can approach that one of two ways. Dried fruit is another high-calorie snack. It provides antioxidants and micronutrients, but it's a very high sugar content. It's not ideal if you're trying to lose the weight. Perfect if you're trying to gain weight. And people think that fruits lose a lot of their nutrients when they're dried, but that's not the case. Dried fruits contain lots of fiber, and most of their vitamins and minerals remain intact. So there are lots of foods that you can employ to gain weight or avoid to lose weight. That's kind of the message of this segment. Pay close attention to what you're eating, because it certainly will have an impact on your body mass index and whether or not you've got a trim or a not-so-trim waistline. That's it for this week. Thank you for spending this time with me, and I will be back next week with another edition of Food for Thought. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Food for Thought with Jolie Root, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Tune in again next time as Jolie Root sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought, Fridays at 10 a.m. on 1160 WVNJ.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are solely those of the host and not necessarily those of the station, its ownership, management, or staff.